Just real quick before we get started in our lesson today. Today is the day for all of you Honduras people. It's our flight payment is due today, $700. We're also having a meeting right after second service. We'll be meeting in the kitchen, and Omar Rosales Mina will be here. He's our man at Life Mission Ministry. He's going to be leading our trip, and so he'll be there to answer questions and kind of get us in the right mindset as we prepare to go down to Honduras for our missions trip. And so today's the flight payment due, and we're going to have a meeting. We'll feed you a little meal and everything as we do that meeting today. So, all right, so let's jump into our series today. We are doing an underdog series, and I love the underdog stories, don't you? Underdog movies, Rudy, and Remember the Titans, and all of those. And, you know, there's just something about an underdog story that, you know, kind of gets you motivated, doesn't it? I remember watching, like, Karate Kid growing up. And, you know, we'd watch that, and then, of course, we all had to have a big karate battle after it because they got us pumped up, like, yeah, you know, Daniel, he won, you know, and so, like, we can do it too. And so we had, I think one time we were actually, I think it was Karate Kid that we watched, and someone did the crane kick and knocked someone's tooth out and all kinds of good, it was, you know, great fun. So, anyway, we love the underdog stories, and there's a ton of them in the Bible. And so through this series, we're going to talk about three different people who were underdogs in the Bible, and that God used his grace and his power to display in ordinary people extraordinary things. And see, that's what he wants to do in our lives. See, the reason why we connect with it, because we are underdogs. There's some way in your life that you don't feel like you measure up, that you're not as good as somebody else. And you know, the thing is, we don't need to play the comparison game. You know, because what God called you to do is different than what he's called me to do. And the things that you're supposed to accomplish, nobody else can accomplish because that's what you're supposed to be doing. And so, you know, we all have that kind of in us that, you know, we're underdogs and that we can't make it. And that's the thing about the calling of God on your life, is that you should feel like an underdog when he calls you to something, because he wants you to depend on his grace and his power for you to accomplish what he wants you to do. And so, last week we talked about Ruth, and the thing that we pulled out of Ruth's story was that God took a nobody from nowhere and made her into something. And in fact, you know, she was a foreigner that just happened to move in with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and God took her faithfulness and her obedience and her virtue and brought her into a vital part of not only Israel, but us today, because she's the far-off grandmother of Jesus. And so it's really cool how God can take someone who's not going anywhere, that has nothing, and make something awesome out of their life. And so we talked about that last week. This week's kind of the opposite story. We're going to talk about the story of Joseph. Now, this is the Joseph of the Old Testament. It's, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph was his youngest son. And so this is kind of the opposite, because Joseph was somebody. He had stuff in life. You know, he was, you know, the grandson... Wait a second. Great-grandson, I had to think about that one a second. Great-grandson of Abraham, who was the father of the faith. He was the one that made the covenant with God in the Old Testament. And so he was in that line, in that family, to where he was something. But it's interesting that Joseph's story is different than Ruth's. And so let's talk about this. Now, I'm not going to read all this, because his story starts in Genesis chapter 37, and it goes all the way to Genesis chapter 50. Now, how many of y'all want me to read all that to you? Okay, we'll get together later and we'll read, you know. We can have story time and we'll sit down and talk about it and read. No, but I'm going to read a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end, and I'll kind of tell you the story and see what God is going to do in his life, because he's an underdog for a different reason than Ruth was. And so let's go to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to start in verse 1 as we're introduced to the family of Jacob. And it says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. And this is the account of Jacob's family line. Now, Joseph, a young man of 17, it's funny how he goes right to Joseph in this story. Like he has brothers that are older than him, and we just go straight to Joseph here. So Joseph was a young man of 17. He was tending the flocks with his brothers, and the son of Bilhah and the son of Zilpah. Those are some great names back in the Old Testament. If anybody's looking for baby names, Old Testament's where to go, right? And his father's wives, and he brought and he brought their father a bad report about his brothers. Now Israel loved Joseph. Now, just to catch you up here, God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and that's why they're Israelites now, and they're Israel. And so when it reads Israel, it's talking about Jacob. All right, so now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he was born for him in an old age, and he made him an ornate robe for him. Now, in our families, we don't have favorites, right? I mean, there's no favorites. You weren't, you know, as you were growing up, like your parents didn't have favorites, right? Correct? There's always the favorite. It's interesting. Anyway, so anyway, the Bible says, it's pretty bad when the Bible says, like, hey, Joseph was the favorite child of Jacob, you know? And so, you know, there's something serious going on here. And so he loved him so much that he made him an ornate robe, or we call it the coat of many colors in this. And so he made him a special robe that he didn't make any of his other brothers. Verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could speak no kind word to him. And so one day Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while all your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. That's a great dream, right? It's pretty cool. And so his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. And so here we go. Joseph's the favorite out of the family, you know, so they already don't like him. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey guys, gather around. I had this cool dream last night. Listen to this. One day I'm going to rule over you. So, you know, it goes over well. And so what happens in here is, you know, he starts off on the wrong foot. You know, he's in a good family. He's got some stuff. He's got inheritance and all that stuff. But he has these two dreams. He had another dream after that, which basically the same thing, where all of his brothers are going to bow to him, except for this time his father and mother are going to bow to him too. And so he, you know, took it a step further. And this was a God dream. This was something that God placed on his life. And so what happened is that, you know, his brothers are hating on him, and, you know, he's the tattletale. He's the one that dad sends out, and he reports back what all of the brothers are doing. You know, we all had that one, right? It's usually the youngest one. I'm the youngest of my family, so that was me. And so I was the beloved one of my brothers. And but anyway, he sent he sent Joseph out and like, go see what they're doing, report back to me what's going on. And so all the brothers are out there tending sheep, and those, so they see him coming, like, there he is. Joseph is coming. It's our time to get him. And so they're like, hey, let's kill him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never actually got to the place where I wanted to actually kill my brothers, but apparently that's where these people were. And so they're like, yeah, let's kill him. Nobody will ever know. And so what they do is they strip him of his wonderful ornate coat of many colors, and they throw him in a pit. Now, they weren't just going to kill him. They were going to make him suffer. All right, they're going to throw him in this pit to where he can't get out. So either he's going to starve to death, or some wild animal is going to come kill him. And that is gruesome. I mean, that's pretty tough right there for, I mean, some serious hate going on right there. But luckily, Judah was there and say, hey guys, come on, let's not actually kill him. But look, there's a caravan of people going to Egypt. Let's sell him as a slave. That would be even better. So that way he suffers even longer. And so Judah, you know, he gets him pulled out of the, and they sold him into slavery. So here we see Joseph, the favorite of the family. He just had this wonderful dream that God's showing him the future of one day my family's going to bow down to me. And now he finds himself in slavery. That's a good start to the story, right? He feels like he's going in the right direction now, right? No, he does not. And so he's sold into slavery, and so he goes into Egypt, and a man named Potiphar buys him as a slave. All right, and so Potiphar, he's a little bit higher up in Egypt, and Egypt is like the superpower of the time. They were the big country. They everybody kind of looked to them, and so he's sold as a slave in Potiphar's house. And so the one thing about Joseph that we see is that Joseph is always faithful to God no matter what. No matter what situation, no matter what circumstance is going on, he stays faithful to God. And so he's faithful as he's working for Potiphar in that God blesses him. The blessing of God is on Joseph. And so as he's working for Potiphar, God is blessing Potiphar. So Potiphar loves this. He's like, hey, this is awesome. And so he promotes him to just underneath himself. In fact, he runs all of Potiphar's household because God keeps blessing that. And he's like, dude, Joseph, man, you whatever you need to do, you do it because you're awesome. And so Joseph is running Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife takes notice of Joseph. And so she begins to proposition him, trying to sleep with him, and Joseph, he stays faithful to God. He shuns her, he keeps pushing her away until one day she catches him alone and she said, come sleep with me, and she grabs his coat. And I don't know, like he did some kind of ninja move to where he like strips out of his coat, runs out the door. And, you know, I'm sure that embarrassed Potiphar's wife. And so she goes to Potiphar and said, look what your servant has done to me. He tried to rape me. And so Joseph gets thrown into prison for something that he didn't do. Again, Joseph's life's going exactly like he thought it would, you know, and he's going down the right road here. And, you know, he has this dream that one day his family's going to bow down and they're going to serve him. And he finds himself in slavery. And then he's falsely accused and finds himself in prison. Now, I don't know about you. At this point, I'm ready to give up. I'm like, okay, God, something's off here. You know, what have I done? You know, why is this happening to me? And that's what a lot of us tend to do when bad things happen in our life, is we begin to question God. Like, God, do you hate me now? I mean, what did I do something wrong? What can I do to change? But see, we never see Joseph blaming God for what happened and never walking away from God. But he stays faithful to God no matter what is going on in his life. And it's one of those testimonies that you don't hear a lot of times, because I know when bad things happen to me, I mean, I'm like, why did this happen? What in the world? What did I do? I mean, did I sin? Did I make God mad at me? What's going on? But Joseph stays faithful. And so we find him in prison. And so he's hanging out in prison doing his thing. And of course, God's favor is on him again. And so he's helping the warden out and he's doing things. He's helping feed people. And it gets to the point to where the warden's just like, Joseph, take over the prison. Because, I mean, whatever you're doing is working. And so the warden didn't have to worry about anything. And Joseph was in charge of the prison as a prisoner because God's blessing was on his life. And so one day, the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, gets mad at his cupbearer and his baker. We don't know what they did. I don't know if they tried to poison. I don't know what happened here. But anyway, and so they find themselves in prison with Joseph. And both of them have a dream. And so Joseph, God has put something in his life to where he can interpret dreams. There's just something about dreams and Joseph that just happened to go together. And so he's like, tell me your dreams. And so the cupbearer tells, you know, his dream to Joseph, and the baker tells his dream to Joseph. And he says, okay, this is what God's trying to tell you. He tells the cupbearer, in a few days, Pharaoh's going to restore you back to your original position and you're going to be serving in Pharaoh again. And so the baker's like, oh, cool, you know. And so tell me what my dream means. He's like, dude, you're going to die. They're going to impale you on a pole and the birds are going to peck out your eyes, okay? That's what, baker did not like that. But anyway, it happened like Joseph said, and the cupbearer is restored and the baker dies, and Joseph sits in jail for 2 more years. He told the cupbearer, like, listen, dude, when you get to Pharaoh, tell him my story, man. I'm falsely accused here. Maybe he can help me out. Maybe he can get me out. 2 years goes by and nothing. And so one day, Pharaoh has a dream. And so he calls all of his people in and he's like, somebody tell me what this dream means. It really bothered him and he knew it was of significance and nobody could tell him what the dream meant. And then the cupbearer was like, hang on a second. 2 years ago, I was in prison and this dude interpreted my dream and it came true. So let's call him. And so Pharaoh calls for Joseph to come, and Joseph or Pharaoh tells him the dream. And Joseph's like, you know, dude, I can't do it, but you know, God, he knows what's going on, and so God will interpret your dream. And so God gave him the interpretation of the dream and what the dream was about. God was warning Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 years of good harvest, followed by 7 years of famine. And so it was a warning from God, and Joseph's like, here's what you need to do, man. You, during these seven plenty of years, you need to store back some grain and store back some food, so when those seven bad years hit, you know, you're going to have plenty of food, and your nation's going to be okay. And so Pharaoh's just like, whoa, this guy's awesome. There's something about this guy. And so Pharaoh puts him second in command of all of Egypt. So listen to this. He goes from the favorite son to a slave to a prisoner to second in command of the strongest nation in the world at the time. I think that was Joseph's plan, right? I mean, that's kind of what he was going, like, yeah, we can do slavery thing for a while, then prison, and then we'll get there. No, Joseph wasn't thinking that. He's thinking, God, you're taking me down the wrong road. I'm supposed to be going this way. We're going this way. What's the deal? But here's the thing about God is that God, when you're faithful to God, he's going to get you where he needs you. See, now God did not cause all of these things to happen to Joseph. His brothers and Potiphar's wife caused these bad things to happen to Joseph. But see, God can use any situation, any circumstance in your life to bring good into your life. That's what he's good at. That is what he's good at. But see, here's the thing, that God used these situations to do something in Joseph's life. See, when Joseph was 17 years old, he had a dream that one day all of his family is going to bow down to him. Now, what do you think a 17-year-old's thinking in this moment of, hey, my brothers that pick on me and hate me, one day they will serve me. What do you think he's thinking? Show them suckers, sell me into slavery. I'll tell them. I'm sure there was a lot of pride in there, and there's some revenge in his heart, and some. I'm sure that those things were lying under the surface there at some time. But see, God, through the circumstances of his life, took him through a process that matured him, because at 17 years old, he wasn't ready. And here's the thing, lots of times when you experience that moment to where you kind of realize, like, hey, this is what I'm made to do. You know, this is God's calling for my life. This is God's plan for my life. Lots of times you're not ready. And I think that's why he doesn't show you the full picture at that time. Because I don't think we would take the journey if we knew what it was going to take to get from here to where we're supposed to be. Because the thing that I've learned in life is that I don't grow when things are easy. I don't grow muscles by not going to the gym. I've tried a long time. I've tried. It hasn't worked out for me yet. But it's not till I go to the gym and put in the work until things begin to happen. And that's the thing in our lives, is that we need to go through some things in order for God to mature us and prepare us to what he has for us. Because let me tell you something, 17-year-old Joseph probably would have killed his brothers if he was in charge at that moment. But see, because of the circumstances in his life, God began to work some of those things out of him. Being a slave, pride gets worked out of you. Being falsely accused of something you don't do, God had to work on some unforgiveness there. God had to work on some grudges there. And it's through the processes of life that God can use those tough things in our life to mature us if we let him. If we let him. Too many times we want to throw the pity party. God, why did you let this happen to me? God, what's going on in my life? God, why? And we get in this pity party and we don't engage God in those moments and say, God, this is hard. I give this to you. Do something in my life because of this. Grow me, mature me, you know, make me better because of this. See, most of life is how we respond to things. How are you going to respond in the tough times? Are you going to go throw a pity party and go cry in the corner for a year? Or are you going to say, okay, God, this was not supposed to happen. This was not my plan. But God, I give it to you and I'm going to be faithful to you. God, do something good with this. And see, we can become bitter because of bad stuff in our life, or we can allow God to make us better. It's our choice in how we respond to things in life. And so we see Joseph staying faithful to God during those things. You know, when he went to jail, he's like, okay, here we go. Let's start over again. God, I'm faithful. And he began to work and he began to do something. And it was this thing, this dream that he had in his heart, this passion that he had on the inside of him drove him. And see, one thing that I see the enemy doing is when someone gets that moment of like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is God's calling. This is what I'm made to do. And then it's like a barrage of bad things start hitting them and they give up on the dream. See, we don't need to give up on the dream that God's placed in our hearts. See, there's some of you that have given up on the dream. Let me tell you something, be faithful. Because lots of times life doesn't look like it's taking you down the right road. It doesn't look like you're on the right path to make it to where God wants you to be. But let me tell you something, God can take whatever happens in our life and get us to where we need to go. But we need to give it to him. We need to let him lead, let him guide. Because I'm sure Joseph's sitting in prison, you know, I mean, it's 2 years. The cupbearer forgot about me. He's not pleading my case to Pharaoh, but he stays faithful. And he does what he's supposed to do. And he allows God to work in his life. And so through this time of his near death, his slavery, his time in prison where he was falsely accused, God was at work in his life. He was allowing God to burn up the selfishness in him. Because one day, he would stand before his family. And his brothers will be bowing down to him. How is he going to respond to that? See, I believe that if he didn't go through the processes that God was taking him through and he was faithful to God in those, that he would have been vengeful at that time. Because after that 7 years of plenty, they built silos, they stored back grain. The 7 bad years hit. Egypt never suffered. There's people all around coming to Egypt to get food because Joseph was faithful to God and he worked the plan of God in his life and he saved the known world at the time because he was following God's plan for his life. And then during that famine, you know, his family was still living in Canaan. There was famine over there and they heard that there was food in Egypt. And so they're like, you know, Jacob was like, guys, go to Egypt, get us some food, man. We're going to die out here. And so I wish I could read this whole story to you because there's so many little different things going on in the story. And so, but what happens is the brothers come and they bow before Joseph. They don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph immediately recognizes them. And here's his chance. How's he going to respond in this moment? See, if he didn't allow God to work in his life, there was going to be hate there. There's going to be vengeance there. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. And so what ends up happening, he gives them the grain. But during the process of them talking and him asking them questions, you know, is this all, you know, how's your dad doing? How's your little brother doing? And he was asking all these questions. And he got so overwhelmed that he had to run and hide. And he broke down crying. Because he found out that his family's still alive, his father's still alive, his brother Benjamin, he's still doing good. And so through the process of them coming and going and doing some different things, that eventually Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Now, could you imagine that moment for the brothers? Oh, that's Joseph. We tried to kill him. We're done. We're done for, man. We're dead. But see, here's the thing. Everything in the Bible points back to Jesus. And here we see Joseph as the savior of Egypt and the known world at the time. He is a type of Jesus. And so here we see Joseph in this moment to where he has a chance to judge his family for what they did to him. But how did Joseph respond? He responded with grace, with mercy. And in fact, he invited his family to come live with him. He saved his family. And what the really cool part about this story is, this is the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph. The Messiah comes through this family. If it wasn't for Joseph saving them that day, that line would have broken right there. But because Joseph was faithful to what God called him to do, the Messiah was able to come into the world and that we're able to experience life and life more abundantly. We're able to experience that salvation and forgiveness of sin. And we have that now because Joseph was faithful. He didn't let the bad things in life knock him down. He didn't let him do it. But he was faithful to God. See, Joseph was a man with a dream in his heart. He had a dream in his heart, but life kept knocking him down. But he didn't give up. He kept pushing. He kept going. So what can we learn from this story for our lives? How can we apply this in our lives? Number one, see, Joseph told the wrong people the dream. Have you ever thought about this? What if he didn't tell his brothers that dream? Right? Life could have been a little bit different for him. I believe that he would have still made it to where God wanted him to be. But he told the wrong people. We got to be careful who we tell the dream that God's placed in our hearts. Because as excited as you are about that, not everybody's going to be excited for you. Not everybody's going to get behind you on this dream. And so be careful on who you're sharing the dream that God's placed in your life about. Because let me tell you something. When I submitted to God and said, I'm going to go into ministry, I'm going to go to Bible school, my grandpa did not like that. He said, son, I want you to finish college. All right? And he was very adamant that all of his grandkids went to college and got a good education. And he was against me going into Bible school. And I have a lot of respect for my grandfather. And I highly valued his opinion in my life. But I knew that I had to follow God in those moments. And I still went and did what God called me to do. And I'm so glad that I did. But not everybody's going to be with you when you tell them the dream. So be careful who you share your dream with. Number two, bad things happen to Joseph. The Bible tells us that in life, bad things are going to happen. It's not because God orchestrated these things to happen, but it's because of sin in this world. It's because of the brokenness of this world and that sin is, you know, people have free will. They're going to make their own decisions. You know, his brothers did that because they decided to. Potiphar's wife accused him because that she had free will to do that. And sometimes other people's bad choices affect us. Are we going to let that knock us off from following God's plan for our life? Or are we going to stay faithful to him? Are we going to stay faithful to him? And so he didn't blame God. He never lost faith in the dream that God had placed in his heart. See, if you look at his life, he was going down the wrong path to be a leader. But God brought him there. And here's the cool thing about what happened was that the brothers didn't come bow down to him because God made them do that. But see, Joseph became a man who was worthy and who was a good leader for his family to come bow to him. All right? God didn't make them do it. But Joseph allowed life circumstances and things in life to build him into a place to where he was a solid leader that even the Pharaoh was willing to trust him with his entire kingdom and that he became the person that who is worthy to be bowed down to. And see, because of that, because he went through the process where God worked out the pride, God worked out the unforgiveness, all of those things, God worked those things in him that Joseph was no longer thinking about himself. But he was thinking how to save other people. And see, this is what we need to get to in our life because life is not about us. My life should not be about me. But see, through the processes of life, we need to allow God to work those things out of us to where, as Jesus said, he said, look up. Look at the fields. They're ready for harvest. I need harvesters to go out. See, when we get our focus off of us, and on the purposes of God in our life, we will begin to look up and see the harvest around us. Let me ask you this question. When you look out at the world, when you look at where you go, where you do life, and you see the brokenness, you see sin that's just messing up this world, do you look at it and think, man, I don't like those people? You know, do you think, you know, that person's talking about me, that person caused me to lose my job, and do we look at those people and hate? Do we look at those people as our enemy, or do we look at those people as a harvest? That those God loves those people, and God wants those people in his kingdom. And so when I put myself, pride, selfishness away, I began to look at people differently. And see, that's what happened in the life of Joseph, that when he looked at his family bowing down to him, pride didn't well up, rage didn't well up, but it was the grace and the mercy of God that came into his heart, and he loved them. Did they deserve that love? Absolutely not. But you know what? I don't deserve the love of Jesus either. And so we need to get to the place in our lives to where we're looking at the harvest instead of looking at them versus us. Say, God, give me the heart of a harvester. Give me the eyes of a harvester to when I look at someone who is coming against me, I see them as a harvest for you instead of an enemy of mine. And that's what we see in Joseph. See, Joseph, he remained faithful to God no matter what the circumstances were in his life. See, we need to trust God with our lives, especially when things aren't going in the right direction. Are we willing to trust him? Again, I'm not saying that he did these things in our life, but he can use these things to make us better. See, James said it this way. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, because the testing of your faith produces patience. We need to let patience have its perfect work in us too. See, when we allow God to work in our lives through those difficult situations, patience comes, peace, goodness, kindness. It kind of reminds me of the fruit of the Spirit. See, that's what God wants to produce in our life. And let me tell you something. Unfortunately, those things don't get produced in the easy times. It's produced in the hard times. It's produced in the times when we want to give up and we want to just quit and just say, God, I'm done with this. But let God do his work in your life to get you to where you need to go. See, God used the bad things to get Joseph to where God needed him. Here's one thing that I've learned. One thing that we can walk away with is that God will use the painful parts of your life to get you to your purpose. See, lots of times we look back on the painful parts of our lives, whether it be bad choices that we made or something that's happened to us in life, and we want to hide those things. We want to push them to the side. But here's the thing. God wants to use those very things to push you to your purpose, because those are the things that's going to make us better. He's going to use those things in our life. And so the end result of Joseph's story is that he saved the biggest empire at the time by his faithfulness to God. And in turn, he saved Israel and allowed the Messiah to come through his family. See, at the end of his life, Genesis chapter 50, we see that Jacob died. And so the brothers still got this in the back of their mind. Okay, dad's dead. What's Joseph going to do to us now? You know, he's going to have his chance. He wouldn't do anything while dad was still alive. But now that he's gone, what's Joseph going to do to us? And so listen to this in Genesis 50, verse 18. We can see how Joseph's heart changed. His brothers came and they threw themselves down before him. They said, "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, saving the lives of many." See, people might mean you harm, but God can take that harm and use it for good so that many can be saved. But see, that's the thing. We got to place our life on the altar before God. Say, God, this is your life. God, I trust you with this. God, this hurts. I'm in pain right now. Bad things are happening, but God, I trust you. Do something with this to make me better. Push me towards my purpose in this. And let me tell you something. As we submit to God in those moments, God will use your life to save many. But it's your choice on those things. See, Joseph was a man of dreams. Life kept knocking him down, but he never gave up. It reminds me of a great basketball coach. Back in the 80s, his name was Jimmy Valvano. He was the coach of NC State. They won the national championship back in 1983. And he was a man of passion. I mean, he wore his heart on his sleeve. I mean, he was all out for everything. And he was a man of great enthusiasm. And he was just one of those guys you just wanted to be around because he would inspire you, you know, to greatness. And I went back and I listened to several of his speeches this week. And, you know, just really inspired me. You know, he was talking about, it's like every day, so you need to laugh. Every day you need to love and every day you need to cry. Every day. He said, you need to have that passion in life to where, I mean, you're just living it out there and you're putting it all out there. Live life with enthusiasm. Enjoy life. Live life on purpose. You know, get out there and have a goal, have a dream and work for that dream. Well, one of the last speeches that he ever gave, he was diagnosed with cancer. And it was actually 2 months before he died. ESPN was giving him the Arthur Ashe Award. And so he got up and gave the speech, and it was funny because he looked down at this little TV screen and says, it says I got 3 minutes down there, but I'm going to talk longer than that tonight. He says, I've got some things to say. And so you can see like this passion coming out in him. And, I mean, he's diagnosed with cancer. I mean, he had to be helped up the stairs. He said, guys, enjoy life. Live life with enthusiasm. He says, have a purpose in life and work at all your might with it. And at that moment, he announced the Jimmy Fee Foundation for Cancer Research. And he was starting this so other people wouldn't have to suffer through the cancer that he did. And he said, here's the thing, guys, I'm starting this and I don't know how much longer I have, but as long as I'm alive, I want to make a difference. He said, and here is the slogan for the Jimmy Fee Foundation. He said, don't give up. Don't ever give up. 2 months later, he passed away. But I love that enthusiasm, and I believe that is the heart of Joseph, is that no matter what happened in his life, he never gave up. No matter what was going on, he didn't give up. He didn't give up on the plan. He lived life with enthusiasm. He lived life with a purpose. And no matter what happened, he kept his eyes on the prize. He kept his eyes on the goal. Now, the Bible tells us that we're running a race. He said, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the completer of your faith. If you want to make a difference in life, if you want to get to that place to where you're making a difference, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the purpose. Run full force at that. Live life with enthusiasm. Be excited about it. Life's going to throw you some curveballs. It's going to trip you. It's going to knock you down. Get back up. Keep going. Keep pushing on. Until you reach that purpose, to where you stand in the place that God showed you that one day. Don't give up. Don't give up on that dream. Some of y'all need to pick that dream back up. It's time to go again. God's got a purpose for you. See, the reason that we quit is because we become selfish. We start thinking about ourselves. We think it's too hard. We can't do it. Well, that's why we give our lives to Him. Then it's His goodness. In His power, working in ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's the story of the underdog. We're all underdogs, but God has a big purpose for us. Let's be like Joseph. Let's pick it up. Let's run. Let's go until we make it to where God wants us to be so that we can make a difference in other people's lives. Father, we love you today, God. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for this story of Joseph to where you show your faithfulness. As Joseph was faithful, even in the tough times in life, God, you kept working in him and producing in him the things that he needed to do what you needed him to do. God, do that in our lives. God, don't let us give up on your dream just because something bad happened to us. God, let us have that heart of James when we count it all joy because we want you to produce something in us. That other people can experience you in a real way. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Prayer team, come forward. We're going to end this song, this service with a worship song. And I want you tonight, I want you today to think back to what that dream is in your life. Because here's the thing I know about God is that He's telling you, if you're listening, He's trying to show you what your purpose is. And you might think it's crazy. You might think it's out of reach, but that's okay. Let's commit to God to the dream again in our lives. If you need prayer, we have people up here ready to pray with you. If you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, come and pray. Miss Kay is in the back if you want to slip back there and pray with Miss Kay. Guys, let's connect with God today as we worship.